You know, when you look at McDonald's, you can order an Happy Meal anywhere. You can be in Rome, you can be in New York City or Mexico City or São Paulo. The Happy Meal most likely will taste the same. Well, the same idea, the same concept is what I wanted to create.
Originators often struggle and believe it's very difficult to gain trust from certain borrowers or referral partners, especially when they're looking to break into a niche, where it's hard to establish trust with certain communities of borrowers if you are not a part of them. But Mauro Guzzo, CEO and chairman of Guzzo & Co., has established this at a much larger scale as a multinational lender and broker. Guzzo's company is currently licensed in Mexico and the U.S., and will soon have his business also set up in France, Spain, and his home country, Italy. But he has his sights set on even more countries to expand his footprint all across the globe. His strategy for earning the trust of regulators and sometimes national leaders is most surprising, relying on friends, Google Translate, and sometimes random law firms to help him communicate with regulators, banks, lenders, and national leaders. But that seems to be working since the only country that turned down his licensing request so far was China. As an international lender, Guzzo has to navigate the varying regulations and licensing requirements in each country, as well as overcome language and cultural barriers so his borrowers don't have to do it themselves when buying real estate in another country. He has a lofty goal of his business one day having the same international presence as McDonald's, so borrowers know where to get their mortgage in almost any country. Breaking boundaries and building trust is what his journey is all about. So let's welcome the one and only Mauro Guzzo.
So your company is very interesting. Sounds like it has a lot of history, that it's changed a little bit over time. So I'm going to allow you the opportunity just to kind of give me, I don't know if you know the origins of this company, but the history as far as you know it and how you've gotten to where you are today.
So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, I wasn't part of the whole history of the company.
Right.
Too young for it. But we started in Italy. My grandparents started in Italy as a private equity company. So we were buying and investing into other companies, small company in the south part of Italy. That was our main job, agriculture, a lot of agriculture, farming, fishing, anything that will help the local economy. That was our business at the time. We are a merchant family, so we always been in merchant family since we have any written records. The closest records that we have about the company is about 200 years ago. It's very hard at the time back then and in the Italy of that time to have a written records of it, especially because it passed on to so many hands. So that's the closest that we can trace it. We know in unwritten history that has been previous more than 200 years, but of course we have no proof, so on. But yes, our family has been in business all sort of it in the south of Italy. We still keep a presence there today because we continue doing trading stuff. So we still have wineries and Olive Garden and all the other stuff. So we kept it, but we started to split it, the company, because we wanted to get in the consumer finance part of the business and step away from private equity, but really announce the business and be known, because we always been kind of sort of behind the curtains. We were the people that were financing it, but we were not publicly talking about it, publicizing it in any way. So I came in the U.S. to study because I did college over here. I enjoyed my life in the U.S. I can't complain. I was not the best students in the world, but I always wanted to continue my family tradition financing. And our goal was consumer finance. Our goal was anything that had to relate with consumer financing. In 2018, I found an entrance into the mortgage side. Mortgage was the first step for us. So we started to work on the mortgage side. We opened up in Charlotte, North Carolina first, because it was such a great hubs for finance overall, especially with Bank of America moving over there. there's definitely a lot of talent in the place, and I loved it. Me and my wife, we actually moved to North Carolina to get the business going. At the time, we started with a small separate company that was away from the main entity. And then after 2 years, with actually a year and a half, we decided to assemble in one part, merge it into the main company. As today, we do business as a, we keep the entity separate because I'm very compliance oriented. The truth is that I'm always terrified to do something wrong when it comes to compliance. I love to sleep at night and I just do not want to have anything to worry about it. So we keep the company separate. So the company in the US is Goods & Co. Inc. It's its own company. It's its own, regulated by the states where we do business in. As today, we do business in 7 states. So we're still growing in that terms, which is considered a small company. In 2021, we decided to open a second company, same Goods & Co. S.A. de C.V., which operates in Mexico nationwide. We felt the needs that we needed to be present in multiple areas in order to serve our client, but also to give an opportunity to our advisor that we hire, that they work with us, our partners, to have more. Because in our business, we talk so much about how much products you have, the pricing, and all the other things. But also, we have to give the ability to our partners to offer something that it's not on the market already, something new. And so my job is to always, of course, look for new banks, new lenders, and so on. But it's also very important that we're starting to look outside the box. And the box, to me, is within our border. Yeah. I think nowadays, the more the time goes by and the more I kind of get to see it firsthand, people are, they're no longer thinking about just where they are. You know, before you have somebody that was born in California or Connecticut, where you are, and they just pretty much had their life revolving around their states. Later on, they started to move to different states. So they started to look to other states. And that's when, you know, most company back then, I was probably not even born, they had to adapt and started to do business in multiple states. So they just couldn't just simply do it where they belong in terms of where they are based, but they had to expand to other states, sometimes across the country. Today is normal for us to see company, they do business in California, but they also do business in Florida, even though there might be base in either one of the coast. But that what it shows is that people are traveling, people are moving. And this has been, it's just so normal for us that, you know, you don't even questioning that. It's like, well, people moved, you know, they're gone from California, which seems to be the big one, the people are moving out of it, and they're going to Texas and Tennessee and Florida. So we have to, as a California company, we have to always make sure that we get the next states, because we have people, clients, they're just moving out and they're moving elsewhere. So we have our loan officer, they want to continue doing business with them. So we have to continue to add states where these people are moving to. But in the last, we'll say 2.5 years, what we started to see is that people are also moving out of the country. So often in times, if you wanted to really keep up with your client, with your borrower, you can't just think locally anymore. And you have to start looking out elsewhere. We started with Mexico, as we spoke about it, because we had a lot of people, especially with these remote work opportunity, especially in California, where you have previously, you know, you have Mexican Americans, people of second generation Mexicans. They started to look back at their hometown, their own country. So they want to move back there. And, you know, they don't know much, because some of them might not even speak Spanish anymore, but they're interested, you know, and they start looking at it, how to work remotely from there. They might have their parents home or whatnot. So we're starting to see that interest, but we also started to see regular American people who have never been in Mexico before that now have the chance to work remotely. So they can technically work there in Mexico, earn US dollar, and do a great life there. You know, having a beautiful beachfront apartment, which in any states, really, it would be very hard for them to afford at the same, you know, the same price per quality type of things. And so you started to see a lot of people moving down south. But we also get tons of requests, like no stop, for France, Italy, Spain especially. So I'm during those months, I just to keep you update, I came to Italy. I'm originally from here, so I took a chance to spend some time with family as well. Mm-hmm. But also to start looking into getting myself licensed here. Mm-hmm. Not originally an Italian company, yes, but we were involved with investment and no with mortgage itself, loans, but not residential loans. So we have to acquire all the license for the mortgage side here in Europe as well, all from scratch, just like we did in the US. So I came and started looking at that as well here because I see more and more people inquiring about it and willing to, you know, if 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people would have just inquired for second home, a vacation home, an investment property. 5 years ago, it was all about Airbnb. We still have a lot of people requesting Airbnb. But the difference, the main difference that I see right now, that those people are actually looking for their home, their forever home in some cases. Mm-hmm. You know, people are just like, this is not for an Airbnb. This is not my vacation home in the south of France. I'm moving there. My company is giving me the opportunity to go fully remote. And that's what I'm going to do. That's been my dream. So we need to continue expanding. Just like back then, other company owner expanded into the West Coast or East Coast, vice versa, to satisfy the client's needs. I feel that we need to do the same thing, moving across the sea, moving across the board, whatever, and just keep adding those area to keep providing the same, because that goes back to what we spoke last time. What I wanted to do is to really provide the same type of quality, the same, in a sense, product. Of course, we can't provide the same product because we're dealing two different country, two different regulatory entities. We're looking at different banks, but we're trying to provide as much as we can the same way we do in the US. So that way, when the clients work with us outside the US, whether it's across the board or is overseas, has somehow the same treatment, the same overall experience for as much as we can do it within legal terms. And so that's really was my goal. And now it's building up because we also see the market is requesting that so much than it used to. And just the more we move forward, and I guess people started to know that we somehow can help them outside the US. And so they keep asking, you know, and I'll be honest, I lose tons of loans because I just send them out. I don't even take mm-hmm. money because a license in those countries. And, you know, I just literally refer them out to the banks. And
I like, saw that. Yeah. I saw out. That on Facebook that you, and I wanted to ask about that because I think that's really interesting. You said you sent some loans. He goes, just this week, we sent one to Canada, two to Costa Rica, one to Italy, two to France. And someone asked, you know, do your LOs get paid for referring those clients to those banks? And you said sometimes that they do allow that.
It depends by the state, because the moment that we operate within the US, we go by the US law and regulation in the states where we are. We are in seven states, and that's what we do. Now, this is when it gets tricky a little bit, because the moment that the US client is served outside the US, and now is no longer under the US jurisdiction, it falls into the, whether it's European or Latin America, any country in Latin America or Central America, that goes under their jurisdiction and they decide whether or not it's okay. Like in the US, it's very strict. We can't do those things. We don't do those things. But when it comes to other country, there is a flexibility there. For instance, in Italy, the loan officer can profit from the loan. There's nothing against it in the Italian regulation. France is a little bit different. Mexico, completely different. So in some states, the loan officer, the only thing that we do is we simply match it with the bank, with a counterpart broker or counterpart bank executive. They will handle the loan. So they partner up together And if the banks is willing to share any profit, in that case, is between them. So we're not making any money unless we ourselves are licensed in that country. Then in that case, we do. In that post that you see it, we did not, I personally didn't make a dime from it. I just simply refer them out to people that I know and that I have some connection with. Like today, I have to refer a loan out in Greece. And to be honest, I have to dig into my contacts because I don't remember if the Greece bank that I know will be able to do it for foreigner. So I have to contact them. But again, most likely they won't even pay me anything. But what's important to me is that the clients start to realize that we can help them domestically and outside the US, which is the most important to me. And that is my whole idea. This project can take 10 years to really fulfill and to really, you know, be fully developed in a sense, because we're trying to build a brand that goes outside the border. It's already difficult to build a brand within two states or three states. Now we have to do it outside to a different country. So yeah, that becomes a whole new challenge. And by maintain always everything in compliance to make sure that we respect this country law and the other country law. And, you know, so it is definitely challenging, but I love to see the borrowers really feeling like, well, we work with you here in the US, we can trust you to work outside, or vice versa. We work with you outside the US, now we want to work with you in the moment that we wanted to buy or refinance in the US. That to me is important because that gives them, guarantees them the quality. And that will matter to me. That goes beyond the money, beyond reputation. I mean, that is reputation in a sense, because it improves the way people see what we're doing. And that's the most important. I think that's important for me as a company owner, but also for all the loan partners that work with us, because they started to feel like, I am no longer limited to here, to where I stand. I can now expand it. And it's funny because sometimes, like, you know, as a loan officer, as all the loan officers are there, you know, their biggest struggle in a sense, of course, not for the most experienced one, they might not have that. But the newer loan officers, sometimes they come to me and, you know, they're having a hard time to be noticed by the realtor or a financial advisor or an insurance agent. It's like, you know, they don't notice me. They don't reply back to me. They don't really consider me anymore because there's so many other loan officers out there. And I'm like, well, you always have to focus on what makes you different. It was why you compared to anybody else. And of course, we all use the more or less the same lenders. And that is another topic that I personally do as a job. My daily job is to find new lender, new product, things that not came out yet or things that are about to come out, connect with hedge fund and see what they can possibly do for us in order to get those more complex scenario rather than just the cookie cutter, just the regular FHA, VA, and all the other stuff. Right. Because that makes us all the same. That puts it all in the same pot. And that makes it harder. You know, it's easier for us as a company, but it's harder for the people that partner with us. And we always have to think about it because they are the business. They are the core of our business. So if they have it easy, we have it easy as a company. So my goal is like, what makes you different? And why they choose you over anybody else? So when they started to talk about like, well, you know, I can help you if you have a loan there or if you have a client that is moving over there and so on, they now starting to be noticed and they're like, wow, they actually took down my information. They took down my contact. They actually talked to me or replied to an email. I was like, yes, because you're different. Now you're not just another one. You're something that is interesting them and something that they wanted to somehow hold it up, that business card or their contact information, because they might not have no interest whatsoever outside their states. The fact that you can do it, it gives them the ability to like, well, let me save this number. Let me save this information. If I have anybody that it's within the next year or so, I can send it to these guys. So at least that puts a foot in the door, you know, helps them a little bit.
So that was absolutely. And I want to ask, just to get
this
fully correct. So the countries that you are licensed in currently, and then ones that are either developing or you just have your site set on. I think I got America, Mexico, Canada, official in Italy.
No, Canada is not official yet.
Okay,
We send them to Canada, but we're not officially licensed in Canada. No, yet. We're looking into, because we have so much market in Canada, but we're, to be honest, I first need to get myself licensed as a company in borders, US border states with Canada. That would be that would probably be the first step we're going to take before we're going into the actual Canada, because Canada is just as complicated as the US in a sense. Where we are licensed outside the US is Mexico, and where we are currently developing is Italy, France, and Spain. Yes, because those are where we see more traffic coming from.
Mm-hmm. And I heard on Facebook, is Brazil you have plans for?
I've been looking into Brazil. I already did my part of due diligence. I'm still having some trouble to have a contact from the regulator back. I think that's also a language barrier over there. I'm not too fluent in Portuguese. And the contact that I have there, the lawyers, they've been having a hard time to get the whole a full scale of the work that we can do. So Brazil, Ukraine, those are being two of them that we've been closely looking into it.
Would you say like China, I would assume maybe, but a little more suspicious of foreign companies coming in?
Right, exactly. So the problems we encounter in China is the fact that they're really, just like Europe, you know, there's no really things about brokerage. It's always the bank that handles it, because you have to do with housing. So they're having a problem with a foreigner entity taking over that role. Even though we try to explain it, that we're coming in as a broker only. And what it means is we're going to utilize Chinese money. We're not bringing any US money by all means. We always kept it separate. Even in Mexico, there's no US money that goes in. All the investors, all the banks, all the party that are involved are Mexicans, are licensed in Mexico, and that's it. We have our own book of business, the portfolio of lenders in the US, which is completely separate from the Mexico one, will be completely separate from the European one. Even though sometimes, for instance, just go in detail, sometimes some European banks might be doing business in Mexico. So they're the same banks, but they're not really the same entity. So it's just the logo is the same, but the people are completely different and everything else is different. So in that sense, we're never going to bring US money into China or US money into Europe. We will never do the opposite. Never Chinese money into US, anything like that, because then we will get into a completely different issue. So money, we're just coming in as a broker. So we're just bringing the deal to the local banks, to the local hedge fund, the local investors, anyone, lenders, like in the US, anybody that is involved and has an appetite for those type of deals. The Chinese were not really easy on that. They were not really appreciate that. So we're going to reroute and try to figure out another way to do that in a different way. Also, because the issue is the company is a US company, European based, doesn't look good to the Chinese too much in a sense. They will prefer to have also, we will need to have an investor, which is, a partner, which is, I think as a percentage in the company that is Chinese citizen and all the other stuff, which we say that we will be happy to do it because we would have to recreate another entity in China anyway. So those are things that we're happy to go over and work with the locals. Instead of in Ukraine, we had a completely different issue that they do not want to use Ukrainian money. They absolutely want to use US money. So that is a two opposite issue.
That's really interesting. I want to hear more about what your plans are. Well, first of all, just to comment on what you said, I think that's with your relations with China is very interesting because people in the mortgage industry are always looking to gain trust. How do I gain trust from a borrower or a referral partner, anything like that? Right. Especially if it is someone due to our country's history, if it was a Black borrower, Hispanic borrower, and you're white, there's this natural distrust. So always looking for that. But I bet, you know, a lot of these mortgage companies in the US can't even imagine how do I gain trust from China, you know, like this other completely different country that's suspicious of Americans, especially. How do I do that? So I think that's fascinating. And I want to ask, you said there was a language barrier between you and Brazil. Are you the one communicating with everyone? Like, you just happen to have all these languages? Do you have translators? How does that work?
No, I do have lawyers in different countries that I usually use. They're most of the times they're friends from college, people that I know very well. And thank God, I don't know how lucky I am that most of them are either in government or law firms. So I usually often ring them and I'm like, I need this favor. And, you know, like if I ring just a regular law firm, sometimes they think that I'm completely crazy. And instead, I do it myself and I get it done. With Spanish, I can deal with French a little bit less. Definitely not good in Portuguese at all. But I have friends that are there. They're in law firms and finance. And I'm like, how do I get this license going? And sometimes the problem is this. In many countries, you know, we have everything already built. So you kind of can Google it and literally will tell you all the step-by-step on how to open a mortgage company, how to get licensed, you know, and sometimes we'd give that a lot for granted. When you go to another country, there's not really a state breakdown on what to do and, you know, like an application process step by step on how to get a license. There's no such thing because brokerage is really not regulated in many countries or is newly regulated in some other country. So they really don't have laws in place already for a foreigner investor that comes in and wants to open a brand new company from scratch there and has a radio operation in a country that in many places is also seen either as the money maker. So just like give us the money, like Ukraine thing. So just bring us the money, or other place that is seen as, you know, like we have to be careful in China. Brazil, of course, is not that. Europe is not that. We have great relationship with those countries, but there's limitation on it because in a lot of places it's not built for it, for the broker world. Or like Europe is currently being built. There's currently a few companies that operate already as a broker. So there's no ABC on how to do it. Like in Europe, my biggest issue has been, which is crazy to think about it, a lot of banks that we've been doing business with, now we have to talk to a different department of the bank to get the licensee, because the licensing process is very quick. It's not much of an issue, the licensee. What the problem is for us is to be connected to the bank. Well, in the US, we just simply do it with a package, a broker package. We just sign it. And within 3 days, we sign up with all those banks and we can work with all those banks. Well, in Europe, it doesn't work like that. You get the license really quick. You get the state to give you the permission and you're done, right? And that's, you're not even halfway to it. Now you have to work with all those banks and the secondary market and all these people have to get involved and give you permission to direct business towards them. So you're giving them business, but they got to give you the okay. Now it's been 4 months and the hardest thing is to get a call back from those individuals. And then when you get it, then they have to ask a permission to another person and you have to talk to another person and you just get lost in those loops that, of course, in the US, you have no idea that they would ever happen because it's like, well, I just signed the broker package and I should get I should get something back in 3 days that I'm approved. It's completely different outside the US. Also, in the US, we have a much safer zone for lenders because in the US system, the lenders really sells it to the secondary market. So that loan is secure by many other investors. Meanwhile, outside the US, it's different. because the banks or the investor or the hedge fund or whoever it is, the lender, as they call it there, holds it. So if there's any problem with that loan, they're stuck. So what we see it compared to the US, you know, we have all about equal opportunity in the US. Outside the US border, just down in Mexico, 10 minutes from the border, you have a completely different system where the borrower is the most important thing. Like, they're looking at the borrower, and you might show up in a place that you don't dress well enough for the banker and you're done. I mean, for the executive, you're not getting the loan. So, and then at that point, we have to step in and, you know, guarantee for those people in a sense that, you know, we've been doing business in the US with them and they're reliable clients and all that. So they want to hear from us. It's not like in the US where you're just looking at the documents and the underwriter makes a decision. That's not the same. It's completely different outside. They really have to trust you because, again, if you fail, you fail and they're stuck with the house. So they have to sell it for less, most likely, or rent it if it's in good condition. But it becomes a way for them. So they're very conscious about a loan out there anywhere outside the US compared to us where we have. They also have equal opportunity there, but it's different. It's not as strict as we have it. And in a sense, we try to maintain that equal opportunity when we travel abroad and we serve our clients abroad for as much as we can with the local law and regulation. But definitely, they're more strict. They're looking deep into the person itself. Their interest is sometimes it's kind of surprising. They're more interested about what they do for a living, how many jobs they change, what they've been doing all their life, where the monies are coming from, rather than this is how much they made last 6 months. You know, that's not their interest. Their interest could be like, he has changed 5 jobs in the last 6 years, not qualified. In a sense, in a way, that's how it used to be in the US, you know, probably when our parents bought a home. You know, it was different back then. Things have changed drastically in the last few years, but now you are abroad, it's still stuck on that, you know, mindset. Mm-hmm. You have to sort of explain that to the borrowers, like, just so you know, this is what you're going to experience. And they want to see stable income. You know, it looks good that you work in the US, looks great, but now you're self-employed and you have a TikTok channel. So that becomes a little bit more difficult to sell it to a bank because for as much as they love to see that you have millions of followers, you do make more money than any other professional, even themselves, they make less money than you do. They still don't trust that that's going to last. And so if you understand how the banks think and what their objective is in financing a new home buyer, then you do have the key for it. And of course, you have to sort of learn everywhere you go. And just as you move also your learning process. And yes, I try to do a lot by myself. I can't clearly do it all by myself, but I do try as much as I can till I burn.
Yeah. I have to ask because, you know, national lenders, you know, do a bit of this, I guess. It doesn't vary too much in terms of compliance per state, you know, but there is something, you know, business trends, you know, and lending trends across each state that they, you know, keep in mind, I assume. But I wonder, you know, how do you potentially going to keep in mind, you know, all of the business going on in each country? Do you see it? You know, is it kind of really fragmented where your head's all over the place, or do you kind of see a connection between them? How do you kind of compartmentalize?
So I write a lot. So I take a lot of notes, first of all, because I need to remember dates and I need to remember details about what a state wants, what a state doesn't want. I used to do that in the US as soon as we open and kind of track the difference between one state to the next one. And also, I started with the East Coast states, which are very challenging to begin with. So it was definitely a big learning curve for me. And then I had some great people that helped me to understand the compliance in the US. And I sort of like took that knowledge and that, I don't want to call it perfectionist in the work, but I'm very methodical when it comes to compliance. I'm really by the book. Some people hate me for that. But I tend to do, I always say to everybody, I always ask permission. I don't want to ask for forgiveness. There is anything we need to do, even in the US, anything we wanted to do that might be perhaps new, different, or we might have just simply questioned because I forgot or they don't know. I'm like, just shoot an email to the state, to the regulator. Let's ask for permission. Let's ask them if they can give us a better understanding of what we want to do. Maybe there's another way to do it better. And so I took that way of doing business outside. So I go straight to the who's calling the shots, really, nobody else. I'm like, you're the one, the regulator in whatever, in other country. You're the person who's going to give me a license or remove me from the license. So you're technically my boss, really. That's how I look at it. People are like, oh, no, you're the boss. You're your own boss, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm not the boss. The boss at the end of the day is who provides me the license and who allows me to do the business. That's the state. So technically, they're the boss because if I messed up, my business shuts down tomorrow. So they're the one calling the shots. So I just emailed them and I'm like, oh, call them, phone, depending on it. And some of the regulator might confirm that I'm a pain because I will always call them and ask them. I was like, is that okay to do this? Is this within line with your regulation? Because as you said, you know, it changes a little bit, but in many ways, sometimes you see drastic differences between even within the US. And my goal is to go nationwide. And of course, we're still far from that. We're working towards that because that's still our goal. Still our main goal is to go nationwide in the US because that's our main market. So in order to do that, the last thing I wanted to do is upset any regulator to do anything that it's somehow out of compliance. And also I freak out a lot. So I get scared. And I don't really want it to be in trouble for anything. On top of the fact that we are looking outside the US, so of course we have more of a special place for them to check us, to see what we're doing and why we're doing it. But you know, at the end of the day is that we're in line with their goal. Their goal is to protect the borrower in their states. Our goal is to protect the borrower and maintain the borrower over time. So that I think there we're in line with them. You know, we're not trying to take advantage of the borrowers. We want the borrowers to be able to do more with us. And so our loan partner. So at the end of the day, we want the same thing. We don't want to, you know, ruin or screw our borrowers. And so they're regulating us to make sure we don't do that. So at the end of the day, we want the same things. So might as well working together towards the same goal rather than, you know, try to scatter around and do all this stuff and then find out that, you know, perhaps this, we should have done it. This was wrong and this could lead us into trouble. My goal is to go side to side with state. State tells me what to do. I do it. I can keep doing business. We do business outside. We wanted to get into a new country. Well, let's make friends with the state. Let's make sure we're on the same page and they understand where we're coming from and where we're heading in their country and what we want to achieve there. So that way we all on the same page and they don't have to, you know, wonder what we're there for. Same as with the Chinese or Ukrainians. We're not there for any other reason but building a company that has office in the US and outside the US. So that way the clients, when they're coming in China or they're in the future when Ukraine is going to have all the financing to rebuild it, because it will happen, we will be there to help them, period. You know, and, you know, but those topics, especially those two countries right now, it's always like, you know, seen it a little different. But from our perspective, you know, we're looking at the opportunity, which is sad to say, sometimes not nice to say, but those are countries that right now have an opportunity, an opening. The China market went down in the last few, within the last year. It will, of course, we've seen a lot of movement there. We've seen a lot of non-positive movement, which in a sense maybe because I'm coming from the investment side, so I look at it different from the loan originator. The loan originator looks at it where there is more origination. So I'm going there. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it where there is an opportunity. And the opportunity doesn't come in the peak of the market, but it comes on the down in the market. Right now, where do we see it? China is an opportunity, and Ukraine is a major opportunity, which we're looking at it 5 years from now. We expect the war to last another 4.5-5 years. This is what so far seems to be going. Of course, can extend it, but we also know that European Union and United States are going to have large funds, just like they did it with the Marshall Plan in Europe after World War II, to finance it, the rebuilding of Ukraine. We're not in politics. We don't do politics. We're not involved.
You do have to pay attention to, you know, it's part of business. And that's just another segment of it, is keeping up with the current events and what's going on in Ukraine.
Constantly up to anything that happens. And that's part of my hobby. It's kind of boring hobby to have. So it doesn't really bother me because I do that already on my own. I used to do that when I was in investment, of course. I used to in tradings and all the other stuff. Geopolitics to me was not my bread and butter, but it was the things that you do every day, just when you wake up and when you go to sleep. That's pretty much what you have to do. And so to me, it's always been interesting. And now I can actually finally implement it into the business. That to me is great, but it's something that you always have to be cautious that, you know, people think, or you're one side or the other side. I'm like, we're in business. We're trying to operate in a country and we want to help people regardless anything else. Our goal is to help the borrower. That's it. Politics is not our business. We don't do it. I'm not a politician. I don't know nothing about politics, if you ask me. So I'm the last person who should be interpreted for politic reason. Anything else, we see an opportunity, we want to be in it. Brazil as well, it's a major opportunity. But Brazil is a growing economy. Places like Brazil can be also India. Huge economy, growing pill, and all the other stuff are just positive. We see a major potential within the next few years. We don't even have to think, you know, 20 years from now. We could see it within the next 5-10 years. Any country that is part of the BRICS, which is the union of the Eastern countries, we see an opportunity there. And, you know, it will be kind of childish to look away because, you know, we don't do business with this or we don't do business with that. At the end of the day, we have borrowers in the country, in the US, because when we started, my focus was communities, small community, niche community. And, you know, we were starting, when I first started, we would translate everything with Google, I must admit it. And then, you know, every piece of marketing that we were translated for them. We were translating tons of in Chinese, Korean, because we're in LA, so there's tons of Korean. Of course, everything in Spanish, but those were easy. But we did in Russian, in Armenian, in French, in Hebrew. We did in Greek, I think. We did it in so many other languages because we wanted to give the borrowers the feelings that we could work, they could trust us within their community, but they also understood what we were presenting to them. Instead of selling it to them, we were advising them on what to do. And we were doing it in their own languages. So I always, till today, when I have a loan officer to come to me, you know, and I hear them, or I'm foreigner, so I know when somebody has an accent. Sometimes I don't want to offend people and say, hey, you have an accent. What language do you also speak? You know, because a lot of loan officers, especially the new one, they're like, oh, I feel bad because I have an accent. You know, sometimes they're like, oh, I think it's a negative. They say things like that. I'm like, no, absolutely not. That is like your biggest weapons in your arsenal. The fact that you speak another language is major, major. And they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, yes. Like, let me prepare you all the marketing, all the advertisement in your language. You got to correct them because I can't correct the grammar. I don't know. Like, we trust Google for now. Then have either you correct it, or you find someone that speaks better than you that can correct it. But at the end of the day, let's market it to your community. Let's market in their native languages so they feel even more connected to the brand. They feel we're not trying to sell them something, because this is part of the regulation that I never understood. You know, when we present things, you know, to the state wants to know that we do advertisement in a specific way. You know, you have to put the disclosure, the little house things with equal opportunity. And you have to be very precise. You can't put the rates, you can't put all this stuff, or you have to do it in a specific way where you disclose it. But then I'm like, we also sell people that their second language is English. And in many chances, they might not even know that well English to understand those documentation. Now, we can't yet provide the whole documentation translator unless, you know, they get a translators and stuff. But for selling purpose and for marketing purpose, it's not that difficult to prepare everything in another language. Yes, it's a little bit of work. I do it myself personally. But I'm like, I'd rather do it, and I'd rather make them feel that they clearly understand everything we're giving them as a product, as a service, and so on in their native language. And then they have it also in English so they can compare it, you know, that we're not.
I know a lot of lenders now are using ChatGPT to make some more, you know, Spanish speaking documents and things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We did it before ChatGPT. We were doing it all manually. We were translating piece by piece. The worst I still remember was the Arabic, because we had to change the impaginate, like everything has to go flip to the upside down. That was probably the most challenging. It took a week to get all the marketing in Arabic. But when we send out the loan officer with the marketing in their native language, of course, immediately they had a major response back, because we were the only one doing it at the time, at least, where they had their own language. So those are people that are second generation or first generation. So they just came maybe 20 years, 30 years ago. They're older, so they don't really speak English enough to fully understand what service do we provide, especially because they're also used to the bank, not the broker. They only used to bank, because in their country is only a bank that does this business. They can now see a paper, an actual printout written in their language that explain every step of the way, that clearly show them what we are and what we do. That was major. And, you know, we still have loan officers that use it today in many other languages. And we, as long as Google can translate it, we can translate it for them. Otherwise, they have to translate it manually, words by words. You know, thank God Google works perfect and it's easy, it's free. And now ChatGPT can even do it better, because now what we did is we took all those back, we put it in ChatGPT, and we're like, is this correct? Do we have any grammar mistakes? That's the last thing we wanted to do, of course. But, you know, it's also easy for us, because now the state, if they want to audit and check our advertisement, they can just simply, you know, copy and paste in ChatGPT and see, like, what are they writing, those guys, you know? But the goal is, again, is in line with what we wanted. We wanted to create that kind of environment where anyone can come in as a partner or as a borrower and feel like we align with their community, their neighbors, their countries, or their origins, whatever it is. You know, we're in line with that. You know, we're looking forward to do more business elsewhere. You know, there are just so many countries that I don't know how many I can possibly do it myself. Probably my kids one day will do it, not me.
I want to ask kind of about your core mission and what's, you know, really driving you to continue this expansion. Because I think, you know, in America, the prime motivator for a lot of company owners is the success of their business and the success of themselves, which kind of, you know, they take out of their business. And that's typically the mentality. Of course, a lot of people have a passion for serving people and for getting them into homes. But that seems to be, you know, the primary motivator there. And of course, every business owner should be, you know, want their business to succeed. But what I want to ask you, what is your drive? What is your, you know, motivation? And how far are you willing to go? Is this about mobility between countries and internationally?
The motivator really is to create a network that can assist the client because before their borrower, their client. They're clients that we can treat the same way everywhere. And I told you this, I think, before. My idea was, and that's sometimes people look at me and laugh about it. It's like when I look at a McDonald's, I'm not a big fast food eater. I don't technically eat fast food, but you know, when you look at McDonald's, you can order an Happy Meal anywhere. You can be in Rome, you can be in New York City or Mexico City or São Paulo. The Happy Meal most likely will taste the same. Yes, the ingredient might change. Some menu might be slightly different because some ingredients might not be available or allowed to be used in certain country. But the Happy Meal is the Happy Meal. It's a McDonald's as a brand, as an image, serves the clients anywhere in the world, more or less the same way. And you know, of course, you're not going to eat top of the line food, but you know you're going to go to McDonald's and eat what you expect. The French fries most likely will taste everywhere the same. The burger, not always, but the French fries will. So you know that's what you're going to get. Well, the same idea, the same concept is what I wanted to create. The company, it's, you know, I got a lot of criticism because it's called with my last name. I really didn't do it for ego. It was just, that was the company name. So we just kept it going with it. My name is not, my first name is not on it. Clearly it's not for my own egoistic reason. But the idea is to create the same brand. You know, Goods & Co. is in the US, Goods & Co. is in Mexico, Goods & Co. will be in Europe. When the clients see it, they know they will receive the same treatment, the same service, the same care that they receive in the US, they will receive it outside, or vice versa, that they received in Europe will receive in the US or Mexico. And that is my real motivator, is because myself, I travel so much and I live in many places. And often in time when my problem was, I was a student in the US and I have my US card and my US account. And then I would be in London thinking they might have a Chase bank here, or they might have, you know, a Citibank here, and they didn't have it. They only have the financial ones. For other reason, other purpose, but I can't just pull out my money from it. So I was like, I always felt like, why is there not a bank that actually functions as a bank, as a corner bank, anywhere we go? So if I want a Chase anywhere I go in the US, I can find a Chase. But as soon as I step out of the US, there is no Chase anymore. But now today, we have to look at we have to expand our border in our mind, especially like we have to think globally. And global is, we almost all have the same things. We almost do almost the same thing. Why not a bank has to think globally? Why we always think locally in a sense? We can still offer mortgages in other country, slightly different, because slightly different are the product that the other country offers. But when they see the brand, when they see the company, they know that that's what we do. They're going to associate us for that. And so that has been my real drive, to create that sort of network anywhere, just like McDonald's in a sense, but joke aside, to create it the same service, not just slightly completely different. JP Morgan, yes, is in New York, but if I go to JP Morgan in London, I can only go for my investment, but I can't go for my regular banking. So it's slightly different. I don't want that. I want to have the same, in a sense, location, if happens, to be the same. As you walk in Los Angeles, you walk in Mexico City, has no difference. People understand your language because they also speak English, and they understand what you're looking for. And, you know, it doesn't become this big impact or this big change, because especially when you're traveling abroad, and you're living abroad, myself, I did it for 20 years, so I know what it means. You know, you're everything changes. You know, you're used to a system. Thank God I was young, so I wasn't too used to a system, so I could adapt faster. My goal is always finding more. And thank God I have a great team behind me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be even here speaking with you, because I wouldn't be immersed with work that is supporting me. But of course, we're always looking for more people to help us grow. And to me, I've never, I'd be naive to say money is not the motivator. You know, money has what help us grow. And I always look at money as the driver to get us to the next step in a sense, but no, that's my goal. My goal is not money. Otherwise, I'll probably be in another business. I'll still be in investment. Much easier to make money there. But you can build the same thing within the investment world that you can build here. And also, we are currently working to also add a registered investment advisor license within our company. So that way to provide also financial advising to our client. That will open up a whole new market for our loan officer because they will also be able to, if they want it, not necessary, to get a Series 65, Series 7, Series 6 to do financial advising for their borrower. So they will be able to conduct two business within the same roof. Of course, that will only happen once we finalize the licensing for that in the states where we do business. But that's it, to increase their business, to increase their potential within their clientele. My goal is always, how do I give them more business in any way possible? You know, it started with reworking with their community. We change everything in their language, native language, or we're adding an extra license for them to do business in another states where maybe they're from or they have their clients moving to. But it also, as far as we even let the loan officer choose the lender that they want, they can come in and requesting us lender. We have a large selection, just like we all do, because it's free to get as many as you want. It's not like there's a limit, but we want to give the opportunity to the loan officer to come in and be like, I want to work with this company. And as long as they're licensed and they're reliable, why not? You know, have it your way, have flexibility. It's what is going to send, it's going to bring us in the future. You know, being stuck with, no, you only work with this, or you're not going to do this, or you're not going to be able to attract those clients, that really reduce the ability that those people have. So we're looking for, you know, for people to understand that what we're doing is more towards the advisory rather than the sale.
Absolutely. It's much easier to form relationships with clients when treating them as human rather than a source of commission. We always emphasize the importance of being a trusted advisor rather than a salesperson. So thank you so much, Gutso, for coming on and sharing your experience with us. I'm sure once you're able to set up shop in more countries, it will help break down international boundaries and encourage more globalization in the real estate market. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for listening to Gated Communities, hosted by me, Katie Jensen, for National Mortgage Professional. You can find more episodes at nationalmortgageprofessional.com and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe so you can get future episodes, and be sure to rate and review us if you haven't already. This podcast is copyrighted by American Business Media.